Thank you for the prayer. We all stand in need of the prayers of those that we love. And again, I would just reiterate, I stand in need of your prayers. I stand before you. You know, I heard that all of my life. My dad would get up and say he needed the prayers and everything. But, you know, it really sinks at home when you're, well, when you're standing before people. You're standing before God's people. This is not just a people. This is God's people. It's God's chosen people. And we hope and pray that what is on our mind will be edifying and is of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Look at a passage of Scripture that should be very familiar to us. If it's not, I encourage you to read it more until it's very familiar to you. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read verse 1. "And you hath he quickened," that is in Christ, he quickened. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, who is that you? That's us. You know, that's you. That's everybody. We were all dead in trespasses and sins. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world." Now, it says walked in the course of this world. That doesn't sound like something we should be doing. But we all know that we've done it in times past. "Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that is the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Now this verse, or this passage of Scripture, is containing, this is in the past. This should be in the past, because Christ has come and he has finished the work. He has quickened us. And he's stirred the spirit within us that we should walk better. We should not walk as the course of the according to the world, or listen to the spirit of the power of the air, or the devil, or anything like that. We should walk according to God. He continues. We're talking about all this that's in the past and all this that we shouldn't be doing. But in verse 4 it says, "But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together in Christ. By grace ye are saved." Like I said, that should be, we as Primitive Baptist or Old Baptist or whatever, that should be one of those very familiar passages, saved by grace. And by grace, we are saved. And as he continues in verse 6, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now that's my point today, is not by works. It is by grace that we are saved, not by works. Not of anything that we did in ourselves. If you understand what Paul is writing to the Ephesians in the Ephesians letter, is we were dead in trespasses and sins. That's dead. That means there's nothing we could do, nothing that we could reach out for. There is nothing we can say. We can't speak. Have you ever heard the dead speak? Well, no, I haven't either. That means we are dead in trespasses and sins. We were in need of a Savior. But in verse 8, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves." That's the fact right there. It's not anything I've done. I cannot come up here and say, "Well, you know, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and now I'm saved." Well, if you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Great for you. That's what we should do. We should make a public confession that we have followed the Lord Jesus Christ. But that in itself is not what gave us eternal life. Because it contains in verse 8, it is the gift of God. Now, if somebody gives you a gift, and if it's a true gift, that means you didn't do anything for it. You know, you're not expected to pay for that gift. You're not expected to do anything for the gift. Like I said, if it's a true gift. Now, that is one thing. The Lord had come to save his people, and it is the gift of God. But it's not of works, lest any man should boast. So I wanted to read this passage and kind of pinpoint some of these scriptures that reiterate this saved by grace, because anytime you're building something, you want to start with a good foundation. And I hope and pray that all of you are very familiar with this verse and very familiar with the doctrines of grace and very sound in this. So maybe I won't have to do too much learning and too much teaching or whatever, because you need somebody far more experienced to teach that. But I would like to continue over in 1 Corinthians 15. But by grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me. Now what Paul is talking about is, it's only by the grace of God that I am what I am. As a saved child of God. And it's only by the grace of God that we are, that we know him. Because like I said earlier, we were dead in trespasses and sins. There is no way we could have known God. There's no reason we would seek God. It's only by the grace of God that we have the knowledge of him and we have the heart, the spirit within us to seek after him. And if you back up to verse 9, Paul does say, "For I am the least of the apostles." Now for us, we would think about, wow, this is the apostle Paul. I mean, we have great, wonderful accounts. How boldly he spoke and how boldly he was a contender for the faith. How could he say he's the least of the apostles? But continue reading. "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." And we all have something in our past that sometimes we wish we could just forget. But if we understand the grace of God, he calls us out of darkness, calls us away from that, calls us to not walk that way anymore. The apostle Paul did, I don't have the records of the Sanhedrin council or anything like that, but I mean, I can read in God's word that he did a lot to persecute the church. Now, he probably did more than anybody in that day to persecute the church. But God called him out of darkness. God set him free from that. And it's only by the grace of God that he had the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Because when he knocked him down on the road to Damascus, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" Who art thou, Lord? It's only by the grace of God that we know who is the Lord. So it's by the grace that we know who we are, we know him, and be very thankful for that. Another passage I'd like to turn to, and I know I'm turning to a lot, but you know, y'all bear with me. I'm not as good with the Bible. I don't have a lot of these memorized, and I can't quote them right off the bat, so if y'all would. And it helps us to turn and to read it and everything, and I'd like to see, you know, where I'm getting it from. And so if you would turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. I'd like to start in verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Again, it says, not by works, not by works of righteousness, because, you know, it says our righteousness are as filthy rags before God. So how am I supposed to get to heaven with filthy rags? There is no way. It's only by the grace of God that God spoke to us. God called us out of darkness. But it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing, regeneration, and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And in verse 7, it says, that being justified. Now, I know you've heard this because Dad says it a lot, but I do like it. His definition of justified, just if I've never sinned, is justified. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth and he completed the work, he did it complete. He completed the work. There is no, well, I did some of it, and you're left to do the rest. No, it is a finished work. Nothing of our part is needed. A lot of these people that think that we have to do something to accept the Lord in order to be saved, I look upon that as limiting my God. My God is an unlimited God. The God I serve and I worship is a God that needed no help from me. And thank be to God he didn't. Because if it was left up to me, I'd mess it up really quick. I'd probably mess it up as soon as I walked out of the door. Knowing this old sin nature that we have to carry around with us and everything we're dealing with all throughout the day, yeah, it rears its ugly head real quick. So thanks be unto God, it is not left up to me. By grace we are saved and justified. And that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. You know what? The term heirs, it's not in, it doesn't say it here, but it says in other passages, a joint heir. You know, if we were just heirs, or if we just got a little part of the kingdom, that's not what God's word tells us. We are joint heirs with Christ. Not with Moses, not with Elijah, no, joint heirs with Christ. That means all of us together are joint heirs with Christ. We get to share in all of it. There's no part withheld. So justified by his grace. Now one more real quick. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Did Christ come to this earth and die in vain? Absolutely not. No way. So I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, that is, if we can be saved by the law, then why did Christ have to die? If we could be saved by the law. Now, a lot of times that's what the Pharisees thought, you know, as long as they kept the law, and they thought they could be saved by the law. That law was there to help us live on earth. Talking about a timely salvation is to save us while we're here. God came to this earth to secure our home in heaven of eternal life. Now, like I said before, he completed the work. It's done. There's no reason to wonder. There's no reason to fret. It's done. And like I said, saved by grace, but not by works. Let's see. Like turn with me to Romans chapter 6 and 15. Romans 6:15 says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." What he's saying is, so, you know, if we're saved by the grace of God and everything, we're secure and everything, I don't have to do anything. That's why if I had to title this, I'd say saved by grace, not by works, but still do good works. Nowhere in here says that you're saved by grace, not by works, so you don't have to do anything. The Bible would be really short if that were the case. No, we have numerous chapters, we have numerous verses and books to contain scripture of telling us how we're to live here on earth, how we're to walk after Him. You know, you've heard that song, "I'm using my Bible as a roadmap." Well, we should definitely use it in our day-to-day life and everything. This book will not get us to eternal life, but it sure can save us a lot of heartache while we're living here. And if you would, like, turn back to Ephesians real quick, like. You know, we read 1 through 9. Now let's read verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So anybody who thinks that we don't have to do good works while we're here, you need to continue reading. It says, "We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, see, before ordained, that means that that's not talking about that He ordains our every step and our every movement. We're not absoluters here, but we should walk in His ways. We should do good works. Now, if you need any more proof that we need to do good works, let's flip on over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's see, let's start reading. Let's start reading in verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10, 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for He is faithful that promises." Verse 24, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." And a lot of times we use that word provoke. We're not to provoke one another to anger, but we are to provoke one another to do good works. We have to live with one another. And it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Now, if you're going about and doing your business in the spirit of love and the spirit of God, the way He's taught us to walk and taught us how to do our business and everything, people are going to take notice of that. Now, some of these good works, one, if you just skip down or just move on down to verse 25, this is a good work. It says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Well, simply put, come to church. I'm so thankful for each one of y'all that came out today. You know, it seems like on a Saturday we have a pretty slim crowd, but I thank God for every one of you that's here. And not just because I'm speaking today, I really appreciate it because it's encouraging to me, and I appreciate that so much. But it's not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. That's just simply put, just show up to church. You know, every time the doors stand open, we should want to be together. We should want to be with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. That should be a want and a need that we have. God didn't set up the church just because He wanted to. There was a reason for it. God didn't do anything haphazardly. He set up the church as a refuge from the world. This should be a place of refuge, not just this building, but the church and the people in whole. You know, if we're having to deal with a lot of stuff at work or a lot of stuff in our family or stuff like that, and we should be able to come to church, it should be a safe haven. We should be able to lean upon one another when we're in need. We should be able to ask for help when we need it. So we shouldn't forsake that. This is very important. But it says, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another. Now, exhorting one another, that's supposed to be helping each other. We're supposed to edify one another. We're supposed to lift each other up. There's enough of that putting somebody down in the world. There's enough of that now. We don't need it in our church. We don't need it. And God had no reason. God has no use for that in his church. If I could talk, it'd be dangerous. Hebrews. Now let's go to Matthew. Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Now we had already talked about this kind of this morning. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we're not doing our good works just for ourselves. You know, there's some things that we should do good works, you know, for ourselves. But it's mainly to glorify God. Because if somebody sees, like I said, you're going about your day and you're going about your work or something like that in a good Christian manner, and you're doing everything in love, like I said, people are going to take interest in this. Now, sometimes you may get the wrong interest, somebody who's of the world and wants to badger you about it or something like that, but in the world, we should have tribulations. We're going to go through some persecutions. You know, thanks be unto God that so far in this country, we haven't seen a massive scale of persecution. But we might. You know, I've heard that that expression's been rocked to sleep in the grace of God or something like that. You know, we're all asleep, you know. It's high time. We need to wake up. We need to be studying our Bibles. We need to be following God's Word. Like we were talking about, the world has just gone in chaos or something like that. Start the work in me. That's what we're talking about, good works. We should be walking in a way that is pleasing unto God. In chapter 6, verse 16 is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A God-fearing people, we see, and I know each one of you know a good old brother or sister in the church that you admired and you looked up to, and they were just a good example to us. We all have that, and thank the Lord for it. That we can see that. We see that good example. That's letting your light shine. That's, you see that and you thank God. Thank God that I have somebody I can look up to, and I'm not alone in serving the Lord. And as I said earlier, we can use the scriptures and we can use the Bible. You know, the Lord gave us his word to help us. And if you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And it says, all scripture is given unto the inspiration of God. That means the Lord gave the inspiration to men to pen these words down. It is from the Lord, and it is profitable for us to read it. Now, some people may think, well, it's profitable. I've never got any money from reading God's word. Well, if that's the reason you're reading it, well, you're reading it for the wrong reasons. We have treasures that we have in heaven. We have blessings that the God blesses us with. And you just look around. If you have a good family, you have a good home, if you have a place to lay your head down at night, if you have clean water to drink, that's a blessing. There's people in this world that don't even have clean water to drink. You know, the other day, me and Jonathan were doing a perk test, and I have to dig holes, and we have to pour water in the hole and stuff like that and check the measurement and the water. And I was thinking to myself, every time I do one of those, I think of folks in Africa and down in the Dominican and third world countries and stuff like that that don't have clean water to drink, and here I am pouring water down a hole. It's clean water. It's water that I could drink. We need to stop and think how blessed we are. We hear the phrase, God bless America. Well, he has for a long time, and he still is. But back to this, it says, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You know, if we're doing something in our life and we're reading our Bible and we come to it, I shouldn't be doing that. Well, it's there. It's for reproof and correction. And it's an instruction in righteousness. If you say, well, I don't know how. I've lived so bad. I don't know how to be righteous. I don't know how to be good or anything like that. Read. It's in here. It's for instruction in righteousness. Pretty much any problem you can think of, anything you're going through, anything you know your friend's going through, you can find help, guidance, and wisdom in the Word of God for that. Now, you can't just read it for 5 minutes, can't find it and put it down. That's not going to help. It's like, and that's the reason back in Matthew 5 and 16, forsake not the assembly. It says, all scripture is given by the word of God. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's the reason we need to come to church. We need to be under the sound of the gospel being proclaimed. You know, we need to come and hear that instruction. We need to be reading at home, but it's good to hear. Because, brothers and sisters, if a man is called from God to come and to preach, and is called one of the ministers and the elders that we have to listen to, there's a reason he's called. God has a work for him to do, and he has something for you to hear. And we owe it to the Lord to show up, to hear, to be attentive, to read our Bible every day, and be like the brethren of Berea, the church, who went home and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things were true. You know, we're all human. We all have our faults. We make mistakes. We may misspeak a word. We may say something wrong. You know, we need to check on things. We need to read our Bible. We should be so well read that when we hear the word of God being proclaimed and preached, we can go over it in our head. And yes, that's true. That's true. Now, sometimes we'll listen to a preacher on the radio that doesn't believe quite like we do, and we can rejoice for a while, and then, you know, about that last 5 minutes, we'll just go ahead and turn it off. Because that spirit within us will be witnessing us, will be screaming that, oh, no, 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 no. You know, you do not have to do this. You don't have to do that. The work has been done. Work has been completed. But that's why the Word of God, it says all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God has a meaning for it. There's nothing in this book that's there for filler. If it's the Word of God, then it's important. This has a meaning that we should listen to. Talking about the good works, being kind to one another. I know that's kind of hard to do some folks. Now, most of the time in the church, we can be kind to one another because we love each other. Love all of you that's here. You know, love family, love friends, love church family or whatever. But we're called to love our enemies, to pray for our enemies. Not to pray that they would be better at doing their evil works, But pray that the Lord would have mercy upon their heart, change their mind or something. You know, that's one of the hardest ones, I think it is for me, is to pray for my enemies. How much time have you spent praying for your enemies today, this week, this past month? I'll be the first one to confess, not much. Another good work is to help when you can. Help who you can. If you know someone's in need and you can help them out, help them out. And it's best when we can help somebody and not expect a price, not expect anything in return. Because if we're truly wanting to help someone, if we have the spirit within us to move us to want to help someone, we're not seeking anything from it. You know, we just come and say, "Brother, can I help you out with this? Can I be there for you? Call somebody. Go visit someone." We all know someone who is in need of something. It may just be a kind word, a shoulder to lean on, or someone just to believe in them, someone to help them out when they need it. I think one of the best works we could do, as far as a good work, is obey God's word. Now, a lot of people nowadays want to serve the God they want, not the God that He is. I'm here to tell you, by the authority of God's word, that's not profitable. Now, you can sing all you want to, but if you're praising God that you want, it's more of an idol than it is the true living God. Now, we're all guilty at some point of not obeying God's word as best as we can. We all miss the mark. We're never going to see perfection this side of glory. But that's our mark that we should be aiming for. You know, like if you're shooting at a target and you never can hit the bullseye, do you stop? Keep going. Keep trying. That's the mark we're supposed to be pressing forward to. We know, like I said, we'll never see perfection this side of glory, but that's our mark. That's what we're aiming for. And as again I said, be at church. You know, forsake not the assembly. It's real easy to come. It's not like we start at 6 o'clock in the morning. You know, we can wake up, we can have a good breakfast, we can do what we need to do, we can get dressed, and we can go. You know, the conveniences of vehicles that we have and air conditioning and stuff like that, but you know, sometimes we just not feeling it today. I know I've been guilty of that in times past. How much blessings have you missed out on not showing up or not hearing word? You know, that meeting that you wanted to go to, but well, you know, the flesh is weak. I think I'm just going to sit this one out. Could be missing out on something great, something wonderful. And above all, we should walk as a Christian should. Now, the Christian, the name Christian is to be Christ-like. Now, that's as close as we can be. We can be like Him. We can't be Christ. We can't be just as good as He is. But brothers and sisters, like I said earlier, that's our mark. That's the standard that we have set before us, to be as of Christ. So we are to walk as Christians should. That is our calling. That is what He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we should be doing on a day-to-day basis. We should be reading God's word, helping God's people if we can. We should be obeying God's word, showing up to church, worship His holy name. Is He worth it? Yes. Does He deserve it? Absolutely. And brothers and sisters, it is our reasonable service. Now mind you, I'm not here stepping on anybody's toes on purpose. I'm preaching to me just as much as anybody else, because I need it as well. And we're supposed to be bringing forth the good fruit. You know, and that's walking in a way that we should. Now, we should always be cautious in our life, how we walk, how we deal with anybody. Now, when we leave this building, there may be other child of God that you don't know, but they may be watching you. You know, and if they know that you're from Piney Grove and you're not living a good life, what's that saying about Piney Grove Church? I shudder to think of some of the times that I've lost my temper in traffic or something like that, or done something I shouldn't have in public. And I shudder to think of how many people saw that. How many people actually knew me, or how many people actually knew who my father was and who I go to church with. It should be humbling. And we should be asking God's forgiveness every time. And lastly, if you'd mind turning with me to Colossians. Colossians 1, chapter 1. Let's read in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now this was a letter written to the Colossians, and this is what Brother the Apostle Paul was talking to him. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Brother Paul was a wonderful contender for the faith, and I believe when he wrote that he prayed for him, that he did. He prayed. And that is one thing that we should be doing every day, is praying for one another. Praying for our country, praying for our leaders, but praying for one another. I don't know what's in your life. I may know some of it, but I don't know all. There's some people that may be going through some really, really bad trials, really tough times. But we don't know, but the Lord knows. We should be spending time praying for one another. But verse 10, it says, that we might walk worthy of the Lord. And as that worthy, that's our mark that we should be going for. Every time that we leave this church building, every time we're here, every time we're walking, every time we're awake, we should be trying to walk worthily. And be fruitful in every good work. You know, for it to be a good work, it has to be good. And if you have to question that, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing that. But be fruitful in our good work. That means bringing forth more, trying to do as more as we can, best as we can, as much as we can. And again, it's our reasonable service. The Lord hadn't called us to do anything that, you know, is just astronomical. I mean, everything I've talked about today is, you know, showing up for church, being kind one to another, help one another when we can, obey the Word of God, read the Word. It's not hard, but sometimes we make it hard. Make it harder than we should. But again, we're saved by the grace of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. That's why I say still do good works. And it's our reasonable service to do it as well, and be a good steward, and to be a good steward to one another, and be a servant. You know, in the Last Supper, the Lord took a basin and a towel, and he washed the disciples' feet. He showed himself. He put himself in a servant's job, in a serving the apostles. That is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is God. But he did that for an example to us, that we should be serving one another, helping one another, doing good works. I thank you for your kind attention. I hope and pray that something was said that might have been edifying if I was the Lord. But it's very important for us to do those good works. Those good works aren't going to get us into heaven, but it's very important for us to do those good works here, because it's a commandment. Thank you.